This is Down to Brass Tacks. Today, Tuesday, the 3rd of April, 2018. In the studio with me is Mr. Paul Gibson from Solutions Barbados, Mr. Colin Jordan from the Barbados Labour Party, Mr. Wendell Callender from the UPP, and Ms. Kim Tudor from the Democratic Labour Party, and UPP being the United Progressive Party. Our subject today is public-private sector partnerships, in particular public-private sector efficiency, and how will we move towards national development? How are the parties expecting to bring about the needed change to bring up Barbados's metrics, etc.? Our call numbers are 434-1790, and our WhatsApp is 266-4862. There are a number of discussions we've had so far, very rich discussion, if I may say so myself. And I'm very pleased to hear the level of discussion coming from you, our members of parliament, potential members of parliament.
Thank you.
I will go to Kim. Before we wrapped up, we were talking a bit about the role of the private sector in the equation. And I'm going to hear from you, Ms. Tudor, from the Democratic Labour Party.
Lisa, thank you for that quick look into the crystal ball. With regard to national development, the DLP has always been at the forefront of national development. And national development looked different in every age and every era. The DLP would have done quite a bit of work in terms of education, making sure there were primary schools, there were secondary schools, there were what we call the newer secondary schools, there was tertiary institutions, the community college, Erdiston, and so forth. So education was very important at one point. It still is very important, but it was essential at that point. And if you look at the same competitiveness index, there are some indices which are the fundamental indices, which include the whole notion of access to primary education, access to secondary education, and Barbados would rank, from what I would remember, at least in the top 15 of the 130 countries or so. So that start that the DLP would have given the country in terms of education helps in building the rating that we now have. The DLP then went on to do quite a work in what we would call industrializations. So they would have built a lot of what we call the industrial estates, the pine, grisettes, and so forth. Because at that point, you needed to have buildings, you needed to have industry, and therefore industrial estates where the industry can be housed was very important. We come to the present age where we are moving into the knowledge economy, and where innovation is very important. And again, the DLP has been at the forefront in putting the infrastructure and the policies that are necessary to facilitate and effectively use the knowledge economy. I know that the Ministry of Culture has certainly passed the Cultural Industries Bill, which will facilitate a lot of the cultural work, which is one of the ways that you get your name and you get that brand across the world. It also enhances our tourism product, because certainly Rihanna, who's a cultural ambassador, would have been instrumental in helping bring Barbados to the fore. I remember years ago, and that's not that many years ago, it's 1997, when I lived in Singapore, people would always wonder if it was a part of Jamaica. I am certain now when you say Rihanna, you say, oh yes, Barbados. So it brings that name recognition. So the cultural industries, facilitating the cultural industries and so forth, is very important, and I think the government has done a good job in terms of that. In terms of things like innovation, we do have an innovation council, and speaking with my other hat on previously at NICE, we are in the process of developing an innovation index. As a matter of fact, we are looking at developing or understanding or articulating, if you will, the innovation ecosystem of Barbados, how it looks. Because our innovation ecosystem will look different from Trinidad. We were working with a Canadian organization because they had done it for Canada in terms of identifying what are the skills needed at every level of the organization, both in private and in public. So at the entry level, at the senior level, what are the skills that are required that will drive innovation? So we have done that work with the Canadians, and we would make that public in due course. And therefore, then the innovation index, it has three components. It has an innovation index for the public sector. It has an innovation index for the private sector. And because the metrics in the innovation for innovation in the private sector, the public sector would look different. And so that will give us a platform and an understanding of how we can leverage innovation. The government has also done quite a bit in terms of making financing accessible to young entrepreneurs, and certainly promoting entrepreneurs. When we of a certain age left school, our aim was to get a job. The young people, when they leave school, or even before they leave school, because while they're at school, they have all kinds of ideas and they already have their jobs. They understand entrepreneurship and want to pursue entrepreneurship. And so therefore, there are a lot of agencies and so forth who facilitate entrepreneurship. Where we are going and what we want to see as we go forward into the future is certainly greater facilitation of the e-economy in terms of, particularly for the persons who want to pursue it. For example, portals, so that a young person or any person starting up who may not have the facilities, the banking and the finance and so forth, can register on a portal, a Barbados portal, which then allows them to sell their products and services and receive money and so forth, and then you can go to the government agency, whichever it is, and collect your money. So you don't have to put in that capital. That is so similarly to how we would have built industrial buildings to facilitate that kind of development. We are going to put in place the infrastructure that will facilitate e-commerce. And as people grow, they can migrate from the portal, they have their own portal. But certainly the aim is to ensure that we are facilitating innovation, because innovation is what we need right now to grow. And Alisa, I know we want to talk a little bit now about innovation and and productivity, and I'll come back in terms of productivity, but to say that the government has always been interested and pursuing and focused on national development, and national development looks different at every age. And, okay. And right now, we're focused on the e-economy and the knowledge economy, and certainly driving innovation.
Thanks so much. I'm going to hear from one or two of our callers on the line, and then we will come back to the members of parliament. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air. This is the People's Parliament. Let me hear you, sir or ma'am. Good afternoon. Are you here with us? Down to Brass Tacks, People's Parliament. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello.
Good morning. Good afternoon,
hey,
sir.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Ms. Gill. Afternoon, everybody else.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Just two little things. Before I go on, though, could I just the second thing I wanted to ask, I've already sent in via email. Should I leave that out if you're reading emails?
You could, because I haven't seen any emails.
Oh, okay. I'll get to that also then. The first thing is, it's a little specific as it relates to technology and efficiency. Mm-hmm. Very specific, actually. And it's one of those instances in which a micro situation could end up being a macroeconomic problem. And that is, it came up a little earlier, credit cards to pay government obligations. But one of the things that taxation is not, or one of its goals, is certainly not to increase debt on the household or business sector. Credit cards can do that. Right? Unless, of course, we can't assume that every credit card would be paid off and it is due. So therefore, the lack of paying off those and paying government obligations by credit card has the potential of increasing debt within the household or within the business sector. So where the macro problem comes now, unless the government is then prepared to reduce taxation to a level to accommodate that increased debt, you got a macro problem. fellas could throw. I just throw that one out.
I'm not clear, though, on how the debt becomes the government's debt. Could you share that?
It doesn't become the government's debt. It becomes the household and corporate sector debt.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't become government debt at all. The having to pay taxes or being able to pay taxes by credit card is a convenience, but it could become a macroeconomic headache at the level of debt that could be created within the household sector.
Okay.
So that's why I'm just throwing that out for anybody that wants to comment on it. It's a convenient thing, it's a great thing, but that's a downside to it. The second thing was more general, and that is a question I was throwing out to the panelists, sent it in via email, and it goes like this: developing policies about how efficiency is to be attained at any level, either micro or macro, is an important activity. My question, therefore, is this: would it be your opinion that austerity violates or not basic economic efficiency requirements, for example, high employment levels? That's a question out to the panel. And that's it for me, folks.
Okay, thank you so much. We go to our next caller. Are we clear on the other call? We clear on what the caller is asking?
Yes.
Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Hello?
Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Yes, I would just like to make a few statements based on some things I would have heard. And then I'll have a question to ask the panel overall.
Okay.
Good. Now, I was listening to the program, and I would have heard Ms. Shooter, when she was speaking on education, saying what the Democratic Labour Party out there would have started their education and so on, what they would have done. And I tend to believe that when you are going to deal with things, you should start with them in the true perspective, so that you will be able to see where you are taking it from there. If I could remember clearly, the educational system in Barbados, the foundation for education, would have been laid by the Barbados Labour Party when it was in office under the right excellent Sir Gradney Herbert Adams. And it would have started with St. Leonard's, but at the time it was Richmond Secondary Modern Boys School, and you had Princess Margaret. The foundation would have been laid there. And it was after that the Democratic Labour Party, under the leadership of Mr. Barrow, would have came in and started to build on that foundation. What we would have seen in the process of time, and up to now, is that the educational program in Barbados would have been a benefit which, more or less, it's our best human resource capital area that we have in the country at the time, because we don't have exports, nothing that we can export to make money out of other than our human resource. Where we need to have our people educated. And therefore, it is on that aegis that the educational system was formulated, and it would have came up the way it was.
Okay, I thank you for your call. I'm going to ask you to kindly hold, or you can call us back. We are going to go to the latest, the lunchtime edition of the Starcom Network News. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. This is the April 3rd, Tuesday edition of the People's Parliament. We have a number of persons in the studio. I want to reintroduce you to three of them and introduce you to one of them, because Mr. Paul Gibson from Solutions Barbados has left and has been replaced with party leader Mr. Grenville Phillips Jr.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Then we also have Mr. Colin Jordan from the Barbados Labour Party, Mr. Wendell Callender from the United Progressive Party, and we have Ms. Kim Tudor from the Democratic Labour Party. Our discussion today focuses on public and private sector efficiency and how we can move closer to national development. We had a caller on the line, sir. Are you still there with us?
We're going to yes, I'm that here to with you.
So I'll let you continue your discussion. You don't have to repeat what you said before.
No, I pass that. So what I'm saying is that we would have seen our education system came now to a situation where we have young people today, and if you go in the street, meet many of them, you will find that they would like to continue their education. They are well educated, but they cannot do it because they cannot find, they don't have the money to pay the education, the fees and so on for university. Now, I am saying that I am sorry that that situation arrived, but that was part of the genuine that the Honorable Errol Barr would have made when he would have came and built on the platform of the education system for the country. Now, at the same time, I am hearing coming from Ms. Judah about how the development, how they would be looking at including and listening. Now, I would like to remind her that this present administration would have been given advice by the public sector, individuals, everything, all sorts of things. And I can remember well that some of their members in the House of Assembly that were, because there's no more parliament now, were saying that nobody can tell them how to run the government. They're in charge and they're doing it. They'll do it how they want to do it, and we are in the situation that we are in today. Now, I would like them to tell me that I am wrong, because that is a fact. I will ask this question. I can agree that there must be dialogue, but after you would have said to us, the citizens of this country, after we run into the situation that we are in now, that you don't want to hear us, how can you tell me now that you want to dialogue with me when I am at the bottom of a well? Secondly, I would like to ask this question. The other part of the question is, do you feel, and I know it can be done, that the young people of this country know who have been disadvantaged because they cannot get the education. There are a lot of them, they can't find the money, they don't have it. How can we find money to do so many different things, although they're saying there's none, and we can't find any to keep our young people on the path to education? Well, I can remember clearly that the Barbados Labour Party promise that that will be returned, and I will back it 100%. But I will like Ms. Judah in particular to deal with that question that I'm saying and start from the foundation, because foundation for all the development in this country was laid by the Barbados Labour Party. Today I'm speaking as a Barbadian and one who would like the facts to be put as they are and not distorted.
Thank you so much. Let's hear one more call, because we have a number of calls backed up. This is Dr. Brastax. Welcome to the People's Edition, People's Parliament. Listen to your telephone and not to the radio. I'm giving you a little time. This is Dr. Brastax. Are you here with us? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Yes. Welcome to the People's Parliament.
Yes. I've been listening to your party, the party representatives there. And in particular, I heard Ms. Judah is questioning, why are we calling for an election? Nothing wrong has been done. According to the law and the Constitution, nothing wrong has been done. But then Ms. Trudeau, we've got to explain whether we are still a parliamentary democracy, because, and the purpose of the two houses of parliament, because as I spoke to Ms. Daisy, the last time I spoke, I look at section 35 of the Constitution, and it dealt with parliament, and parliament is tripartite. It is Her Majesty the Queen, the House of Assembly, and the Senate. Mm-hmm. only the House of Assembly and the Senate has been dissolved. You cannot dissolve the Queen unless we become a republic. And so Miss Daisy should know that what is needed in this country, when Parliament or the House Assembly is dissolved, we need an election to elect people to the House of Assembly. Because that is what we vote for in Barbados. That's all we vote for, a representative to go to the House of Assembly. So that is important. An election is required. And if the DLP are saying that would retain the government, then call the election. Prove to the Barbados they have a party, because the other party is going to be also around. So prove to the Barbados Labour Party that they can beat them a third time.
So we have two persons agreeing that there should be a calling of elections and one person asking for a question of Ms. Tudor. Could I hear one more caller, please? This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I'm speaking to you. Welcome to all your guests there as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I called to make a suggestion concerning education.
As it relates to improving the efficiency of the public and private sector.
Yeah, but we can do that when we are educated towards that. When the children are educated towards that as well. So I'm saying we have started to, we have given many school state farm status, and I think we need to move on to different areas of education as well. To me, it makes no sense to put our children in a school with 12 and 13 subjects they cannot handle and say that all the schools are equal. I'm suggesting that I put it to these new parties if they have anything in mind concerning a different way of looking at education. And concern about the secondary schools. I think they should designate the secondary schools as high schools. And we need to spend more money on education. That's the first thing. And cater to those who have different talents in their specific areas. Each school will have that. You can't load all onto one school. Each school will have the areas where the children are excellent in whatever area. Say five subjects they can handle, deal with that. If they're good artists, if they're good draftsmen, whatever. Of course, English and math is critical, so you deal with them, you know, at their level so they get there. But I think we need a new system in dealing with our children's talents and start letting the children go down the drain, so to speak, because they can't reach the high flyers. Utilize, everybody's born for a purpose, I believe that. Utilize the areas that the children are good at. And the teachers, you have to be in the system to go to teachers' college. And I think they should have a specific area where teachers can be taught. A lot of people have qualification and they can't get onto the system. So when they apply to be a teacher, it takes them 5 or 6 years. And because they say also, like the private sector, that they have no experience. And coming to the private sector, there too, if they want this country to really float and progress, they need to give the persons who come up to college and the universities an opportunity to work in their firms, even if it's not full pay, with the kind of qualifications they have, and stop writing them back telling them, you don't have experience. How would you get experience if you don't get it? Right? So those are three areas I think that is holding back this country. People keep talking about calling for election, but are we really ready for elections? Are we really ready? Because we got to make some drastic changes in this country and utilize our people with their gifts.
Thank you. I think that's a good, very good intervention. The issue today speaks to improving public and private sector efficiency, and it has a number of planks. We looked at doing business in Barbados. We looked at the index. One of the things I want to bring attention to now is the issue of productivity. How can we improve efficiency through looking at productivity as a as a plank towards improving our efficiency. There are elements, yes, in our education system that we can improve, which will then look at the outputs, which are the individuals, the children, the students that leave school, and their contribution to making it a more productive and a more efficient society. So there is value in fixing the education system in order to improve efficiency as a long run goal. I want to read something here for you. It says, former Central Bank Governor Dr. De La Oro has warned that the level of productivity in Barbados is way too low, especially within the public sector, where he says the level of service has been on the decline for years. Dr. Oro noted that even though output from private sector workers has increased somewhat, the record of Barbados's labor force was really not very encouraging. And he said over the past decade, output per worker in Barbados appears to have increased very slowly by about $600 per year, no more. But he added that the value of services provided by the average government worker has been declining by about $900 per year over that same period. And again, that speaks to then leading to greater inefficiency in the system, more so than seeing any efficiency. So I'm going to throw this out to our members of parliament here to speak to us on where their parties see Barbados improving. What are some of those mechanisms that can be put in place to bring us up the totem pole of efficiency? Mr. Grenville Phillips, Jr.
Yes, thank you. Well, actually the second. More than one.
I asked you that.
Right. The caller's intervention was very good. Productivity has to do with people, because it's people that have to produce more. If you input things that are not too good, you're not going to get out the best. So we need to invest a lot in what we put in the people we put in that must be productive. And for the past 40 years, we've been realizing that there was a problem. And all we do is talk about it and talk about it and study it and talk about it. And all the studies come up with the same sort of greater facilitation. And we need to drive innovation. And with those recommendations, I've been in it personally for the past 20 years. For the past two decades, realizing that we had problems and let's improve the productivity, let's improve efficiency, this is how we can do it. And rather than doing it, we just study it more and study it some more. And then come out with these same, when asked for a progress report, that we are working assiduously and we are listening to the stakeholders and doing absolutely nothing. So for the past 20 years, we knew that our educational system, well, the 40 years, we knew that our educational system needed improvement. We did nothing to it. All we do is study and talk about it. We knew that we needed to improve the management of the civil service. We knew that. And instead of going and doing that, we came up with all sorts of excuses why not to do it. There's the ISO 9001 quality management system that Paul talked about, that we've been talking about. I've certainly been talking about it since 2004, when the government decided to reject it. That was the Barbados Labour Party decided to reject it. And now the Democratic Labour Party also rejecting it. And again, I've been talking about these things now for like two decades. Both parties, major parties, just rejecting good advice and instead studying and talking. So let me just address this educational system, because it's very critical. Because if we don't get that right, we then continue to have persons going into the public sector and the private sector who are challenged. The educational sector is designed for what the lady called the high flyers, or the early learners, or the exams, or the tests.